Greetings. Welcome to the facilities of Farmville Baptist Church on loan to Grace Heritage Church this afternoon for our covenanting ceremony. Perhaps many of you have heard this called a constituting meeting before. We have been calling this a covenanting ceremony because we are here to covenant to one another and with one another to join together in the pursuit of being a local church body and all the things that that involves, and we'll talk more about that as our time goes along this afternoon. Just by way of making you a little bit more comfortable, should you need child care or someone around you needs child care and they're asking you where they might find that, we have child care provided, and you can go in through that little opening where Debbie Reeves is standing and downstairs, and there's someone down there who will be glad to help you with small children should they need that opportunity. Restrooms are through this door immediately to my right. As you go through those doors, you'll find the restrooms as you go through that hallway. So welcome, and I hope hopefully those are some things that will make you comfortable and help you to know what's going on. I hope that everyone picked up, as you came in, a worship bulletin. They're on the little tables there immediately as you come through the doors, and that will let you know kind of the order of things that we'll be doing. It also has the words of the songs we'll be singing. God has not sent us a pianist yet, nor do we have a piano, so we do our music with the guitars and a djembe, and that's kind of where we are right now, and we've enjoyed being able to do that, and so I hope that'll be a blessing and an encouragement to your heart this afternoon as we worship together. Let me invite you, if you would, please, as we begin our time of worship, to open your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 21, verses 2 through 7. In the time that we have together this afternoon, we believe that it is an incredible and an amazing thing that God has initiated with us and that He has spoken to us through His Word. And so in our worship times together, God has the first word and the last word in all the things that we do. And we are excited to submit ourselves to Him and to the Scriptures. And so we'll begin by reading, first of all, from Revelation chapter 21, verses 2 through 7. "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.' And He who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also He said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son.'" Let me again say welcome to all of you. Thank you for those of you who have come to join us for this day of celebration and worship. And I invite you to join together now as we stand together and sing. You'll find again the words that are printed in the worship bulletin that you received, "Glorious things of thee are spoken." Stand together with me, would you please?
Words cannot be broken.
open the scriptures.
I'll be reading from Hebrew chapter 12, verses 22 through 29. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, and to the general assembly, and the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking, for if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less shall we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will make not only the earth, but also the saints. And this expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things, in order that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire.
It's my pleasure to welcome and thank some folks for coming to be with us today. And first of all, I'd like to ask Bob Adams, who is an elder of Heritage Church in Fayetteville, Georgia, to come, and he's going to bring a word of greeting to us from that church.
Thank you for inviting us. I'm Bob Adams, one of the elders of Heritage Church. Our subtitle of our church is Evangelical Reformed Baptist. We are kindred spirits with this church. And I bring you greetings from our pastors, Steve Martin and Hank Rast, and elders Dennis Andrews and myself. If I had a word of encouragement for you, an exhortation, I would encourage you to keep the main thing as a church. And what is that main thing? And that's the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and His kingdom, pursuing His kingdom. There's many things I could say this morning, or this afternoon, excuse me, that in pursuing that, but there's several aspects of that, but this morning we really only have time for two short things that I would bring you from the elders of our church. And that is that in your worship services, that you would ask yourself this question: is Jesus Christ pleased with our worship? Because on Sunday mornings, when you come to worship Him, that's the focus. He's to be to receive all honor and glory and victory and majesty, for everything in heaven and earth is His. And to ask yourself, what is it that I can do to bring honor and glory to Him? And in God's economy, your cup is filled to overflowing as you worship and glorify Him. The second thing that I would exhort you as a church, and again, there are so many facets of seeking first the kingdom of God and His glory and Jesus Christ's honor and victory and majesty, but just these two this morning. Gentlemen, lead your families. Gentlemen, lead your families. Be the spiritual leaders of your household. It is such a sore situation in our churches today that men have abdicated their spiritual responsibilities, and it's decimated the churches. Men have been feminized and set back and lazy and slovenly, and it's the nature of men to be self-centered. The exhortation is for us men to love our wives as Jesus Christ loves the church. There's this analogy there. And there's also this connection that if the men lead their families, love their wives, lead their children, mainly spiritually speaking, then the health of the family is good. And on top of that, the health of the church is good. And pastor, to lead the men of the church, make them the focus, the main focus of your ministry. Because as the men go in the church, so goes the church. Ladies, if that rubs you the wrong way, please be a Berean, have a Berean spirit. Look at the Scriptures and see if it's not true that you need to be a helpmate to your husband. Help him lead. If he abdicates, do not step in. Do not step in. Stay back. Let him hit the pavement. Let the Lord's providence in his life bring him to his senses to be the spiritual leader of the church. I pray that the Lord would richly bless this congregation, that this day you'd look back and say, we had no idea what the Lord had in mind for this congregation. And I'm glad to see other pastors here encouraging this congregation. And as Baptists, we believe that there's no better understanding of the Scriptures than the Baptist theology. And I'm really glad to see these other Baptists here. God bless you.
Please send our greetings to Pastor Steve. He's been a great encouragement in my life, and I appreciate his ministry. Please let him know that. And another gentleman who has been a great encouragement is Bob Harvey. Bob is the pastor of West Auburn Baptist Church. They have loaned us equipment and chairs and all kinds of things like that and been a great help to us in our beginning days. And so Bob's going to come and bring a greeting from West Auburn.
Thank you, Pastor. What a delight, what a joy to be here. To invite a pastor to stand before a group and speak for 2 to 3 minutes is a very cruel thing to do. That's all right. When I reach my time, just kind of start pushing. I'll leave, maybe. But thank you for inviting me, and greetings from West Auburn Baptist Church. What an exciting time this is, ought to be, for the families of your church and for your church family. Also for the family of God, the community of Auburn, the kingdom of God. The angels in heaven are rejoicing over the work that you're doing. And we ought to. And I've heard the word Baptist several times. I am, and I'm proud. But God is not a Baptist, and it's an exciting thing. The entire community ought to be rejoicing over people coming to know Christ, at least the entire community of God in this community. I can empathize with you. 18 years ago, God led us to start West Auburn Baptist Church. With the help of Lakeview Baptist, we knocked on many, many, many doors, getting a feel for the pulse of the neighborhood and letting folks know we were starting the church and having an opportunity. And one young lady in our experience, trying to catch the flame but trying to understand what was going on, said, when I said there are so many people in our community who are not in church, who are not in Christ, and she said, aren't you assuming that everyone is a Baptist out there? And I said, no, but I am assuming that everyone out there needs Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of his life and her life. And that's where we come from. Bob shared, keep the main thing the main thing. Thank you. We need that reminder. Jesus was asked by religious people, what is the greatest commandment in all of the law? There are a lot of good things that we do in the church. I call them things, and some call them programs, and that's okay, whatever you call them. Jesus did not say evangelism. And I think evangelism is very important, but he had a platform and an opportunity to say evangelism is the most important thing, and he didn't do it. He could have said discipleship, and that is at the heart of my heart and my ministry, but he didn't say discipleship. He didn't say fellowship. He didn't say ministry, missions. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in all of the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with everything you've got. And so as you get very busy as a pastor and as a church family, love the Lord your God with everything you've got. And don't get far away from that. And may God bless you. And if we can help in any other way, loaning you things, using our facilities, praying for you, please call on the West Auburn Baptist Church family. May God bless you in what the Lord is doing through you.
Let me ask you to stand again, if you would, please, and we'll sing, "God Be Merciful to Me," a call from the psalm, or hymn based upon the psalm, in which David cries out for mercy and also recognizes his opportunity then to point others to Christ.
Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, and I'll be reading verses 8 through 22. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ,
alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And He came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit.
I wanted just to say a word of thanks to the other men who have read Scripture. Tom Schumpert first, and then Stan Reeves. Those are men who are on our leadership team, and amongst others have done mammoth amounts of work. And so, humanly speaking, much of what we're enjoying today wouldn't be possible had not these men, along with several others, laid their hands to the plow. And so I thank God for the men that God has sent us, and appreciate them very much. I wanted to say that and express it publicly. I also appreciate other pastors who have come to be with us, and Al Jackson is the pastor of Lakeview Baptist Church. Al, let me ask you to come and bring a great word of greeting, if you would, from Lakeview.
It's a great privilege for me to join with other pastors in bringing a word of greeting from Lakeview Baptist Church on the occasion of the beginning of a new church in our city. I rejoice when the gospel is proclaimed, and I rejoice to see that this new church has been birthed in the providence of God and the sovereign plan of God. And let me say, I like your name. I like your name better than Lakeview. Most Southern Baptists tend to name their churches after subdivisions and streets. We were once in the Lakeview subdivision and moved on, but we kept the name. Grace is a great name, and we have a heritage of grace. We are the recipients of God's grace. Our hope is in the grace of God. And in recent years, there has been a resurgence of emphasis on the doctrines of grace in Southern Baptist life. It is a great heritage. And I rejoice that we are learning anew these great doctrines that were once set forth by Dagg and Boyce and Manley and Carroll and others. And so, Pastor Paul, as a fellow pastor, it's good for me to be in fellowship with you. I rejoice with you in God's call to this church. And I want to just read just a verse or two from Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has ever known the mind of the Lord? Or who has ever been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever and ever in Grace Heritage Church and in this city of Auburn. God bless you.
So you may have known that some of our folks have been worshiping at a Covenant Presbyterian Church, and so representative from Covenant, David Northcutt, one of the elders there, is coming to bring a word of greeting for us. And so, brother, we welcome you.
Thank you for this opportunity. Grace and peace from the brethren at Covenant Presbyterian Church today. Our prayer and hope for Grace Heritage comes from the 67th Psalm, verses 1 through 3. It says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine upon us, that Your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Our encouragement and exhortation is threefold. First, as Grace Heritage stands in the grace and blessings of God, our prayer is that your face will be a reflection of His face shining upon you. And that when people see you, they see Jesus Christ. Secondly, our hope for Grace Heritage is that God will give you a vision of how your labor here in Auburn will make His saving power known among all nations. It's not just about Auburn, but it's about the world. And thirdly, our hope for Grace Heritage is that this is a community of believers who praise God. People who praise God know God. People who praise God know what God has done. In closing, I will close as Paul closed to the church at Ephesus. Bring peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible.
Thank you, brother. Please send our greetings to your dear pastor, Gary Spooner. We are Southern Baptist, and a mark of Southern Baptist life is gathering together to cooperate for certain things of missions, and our associational director of missions, Don Johnson, is here. So, Don, we invite you to come, brother, and bring a word of greeting from the association.
It's certainly good to be able to say on behalf of the 37 other Southern Baptist churches in our association, with Grace Heritage being the 38th church in our association. We are glad to have you as part of the association. We voted in April of this year to accept Grace Heritage as a part of our Tuskegee Lee Baptist Association. We have the 38 churches in a three-county area, Lee, Macon, and part of Tallapoosa County. And we have all types and kinds of churches, from small six or seven members to 22 or 2,300 members. And we have different ways of worshiping in the different churches, and that's all right, too, as long as we're worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. And that's what's important in our worshiping together and being concerned about working together, and that's part of what the association is about. I congratulate you on the constituting and the covenant fellowship that you're having today, and want you to know that we are proud to have the Grace Heritage as part of the Tuskegee Lee Baptist Association. And also I want you to know that we're happy that we can work together for the cause of Jesus Christ, not only just in the Auburn and Opelika area, but throughout the world as we give and support mission work. May God bless you as you continue to serve the Lord and live for the Lord every moment of every day.
God bless you. Amen. Let me ask you to turn, if you will, again in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 22. We're reading there from Psalm 22, verses 22 through 31. Psalm chapter 22, beginning in verse 22. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise Him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify Him, and stand in awe of Him, all you offspring of Israel. For He has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and He has not hidden His face from him, but has heard when he cried to Him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear Him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek Him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and He rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the ones who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. And we invite you to continue worshiping together with us by taking your hymnal or worship bulletin again. You're not having a hymnal in your hands. We'll sing together. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. Stand together with us, would you please? Be seated. As you do so, let me introduce to you my friend and pastor from 9 years of service in South Florida, Hal Wynn. Hal is the pastor of Northside Baptist Church, where he has served for 23 years. And it's been a great joy to have him with us this weekend, back in our home, renewing fellowship. Hal was a great encouragement and challenge to me and pastoral ministry. And so today, it's my joy to ask him to come and bring a challenge to us as a church.
Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, a text that I think is appropriate for the occasion. It's a great honor and a privilege to be part of this spiritual and historical occasion of the covenanting of the church together before God. And glad to be a part of it, as I know that you are as well. And this afternoon, I want to charge the pastors and the elders and the people of the church and those who are partnering together in this work as we consider our call to be part of this. And I've chosen a text that I think most of us are familiar with, Matthew chapter 16. And I want to begin reading in verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13. Here's the beginning of the church in the New Testament sense of that word and in the fullest sense of that word. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The power and the authority that God has given to the church in these kingdom keys is a marvelous and a wonderful thing. And it's beyond the scope of our charge this afternoon to go into all that is involved in that. But certainly there is great privilege and great responsibility invested in God's church. The question I want us to think about today is the question that is raised here. Who is Jesus? That's the question the New Testament is really trying to address. It's the question that Jesus asked these disciples. Are you clear about who I am? There were different opinions in our text as to who he was. This was the question, really, in the very beginning that Nicodemus and John 3 had. We know that you're a great teacher, come from God, but we're really not sure who you are. It was the question that Caiaphas, the high priest, had when they tried him. As Caiaphas put the question to Jesus, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And it's the question also that Pilate asked him. Are you the King of the Jews? So who is Jesus, in a real sense, is at the heart of the question concerning the church. And the three points that I want us to draw from this text here as we think about the covenanting service and the constitution of a church. And I want us to think in the first place about their confession of Christ. Because a church isn't a church unless it has a clear and biblical confession of Jesus Christ. Remember, Simon Peter answered the question, who do you say that I am? By saying, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so Peter included lots of things there. By saying you are the Christ, the anointed one of God, he was speaking to us about the work of the Messiah, the anointed prophet, the anointed priest, the anointed king. And so Christ, in his threefold work as our teacher, as our priest, as the one who presents us acceptably to God, the one who offers himself as our sacrifice, and as our king, as our Lord. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. There is his person, who he is as God, who he is as man. And so here is their confession of Christ that is clear. Then there's their dependence upon the Spirit. Jesus says to Peter, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And so in those words, we learn our dependence upon God for even understanding anything, biblically or spiritually. This is not something that Peter came to by his own human reasoning. He didn't arrive at this through speculation or through his human brilliance. This is something God had revealed to him. And so we need to remember that as we consider ourselves as a church, believing not only the Word of God is the Word of God, but believing that only God can make this word known to our hearts savingly and in sanctifying power. And thirdly, I want us to observe their confidence in his promise. Jesus said to them here, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Notice the promise. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. So in the first place, I want to charge Grace Heritage Church to be faithful to your confession of Christ. To the pastors and elders, I charge you to preach Christ and to make Christ known. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. That may mean that the word of God reveals Christ, but that word also may mean that Christ himself is heard in his word, his own voice as the word of God is preached. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. The word must be preached. As Augustine used to say, and I think it's in your brochure there, when the scriptures speak, when the scriptures speak, God is speaking. Or in the words of the Apostle Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So I charge you to be faithful in your work as elders and as pastors, as Paul charged the elders of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. Take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which He's purchased with His own blood. I charge you to minister as pastors and elders according to your God-giving priorities. Remembering Acts chapter 6, as the great conflict came into the church, Peter said, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word." And then I charge you to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, as Paul instructed in Ephesians. He gave himself some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then I charge this church to be word-centered, to be God-glorifying, to be Christ-centered in all of your ministry, in all of your preaching, in all of your singing, in all of your worship, in all of your praying, in your administering of the ordinances and baptism. It is in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In your distributing of the communion of the Lord's table in the name of Christ, in all of your church discipline that must be done in His name, in all of your fellowship, in all of your ministry and evangelism and mercy to the community in the name of Christ. As the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And then I charge the church to always remember that Christ rules His church by His word. And your submission to God's word and to those whom He has appointed over you is really a submission to Christ as they faithfully administer that word and care for your souls. As Hebrews says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And then I would charge you, church members, to be faithful in your covenantal responsibilities and be faithful in these ways, in your attendance. As Hebrews says, let us consider one another, to stir up to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching, to be faithful in your life and in your witness. As Philippians 2:12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. And to be faithful in making disciples. The Great Commission was not given just to church leaders. It was given to the whole church. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that Christ has commanded you. And then to be faithful in your homes and to your families. Your responsibility begins in your home. It does not end there, but it begins there. And so it's the foundation and platform upon which your ministry to others is built. Therefore, we must see that our homes are ordered according to the Word of God. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? And Paul instructs in Ephesians, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Having charged you then to be faithful to your confession of Christ and His word, let me also charge you to be faithful in your dependence upon the Spirit, by remembering that it's the ministry of the Spirit to reveal Christ to our hearts and through our lives. As Jesus promised, when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of Me. So the Holy Spirit does not carry us beyond Christ, but the Holy Spirit carries us to Christ. He testifies of Christ. And by remembering Christ's provision of power by His Spirit, as the disciples had questions, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? It's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in His own hands. But you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth, by the empowering of God. And so we are His possession, and He empowers us to do His work. To be a praying church. Remember Jesus said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask Him? And so we need to live as a church in dependence upon God, and that Spirit ought to characterize your church. To be a church aware of the mediating ministry of Jesus Christ, who said, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing can take place in the name of Christ effectually without the ministry of Christ. We need Him at every moment. There is never a time, whether we're praying or preaching or witnessing or whatever we may be doing, where we don't need Him at the right hand, ever interceding for us. And so be faithful in your dependence upon Christ in all of these ways. And thirdly, I charge you to have confidence in Christ's promise to build the church. He said, I will build my church. Now, man may build his church, but Christ has promised to build His church. And so I charge you to be faithful to God through all of the trials and all of the sufferings that will be a part of building a church and of growing a church for God in a world that is essentially hostile to Him. Remembering what Jesus said as our example, except a grain of wheat fall to the ground, it abides alone. But if it falls to the ground and dies, then it brings forth much fruit. He was talking about going to the cross. And having said that, He turned to His disciples and invited them to take up their cross and to follow Him. And so realize that it will be suffering. There will be hardships, but there is a glory in that as we share the fellowship of Christ's own sufferings. I like what John Stott said in that respect. The greatest single secret of evangelism or missionary effectiveness is the willingness to suffer and die. It may be death to popularity by faithfully preaching the unpopular biblical gospel, or to pride by the use of modest methods and reliance on the Holy Spirit, or to racial and national prejudice by identifying with another culture, or to material comfort by adopting a simple lifestyle. But the servant must suffer if he is to bring light to the nations, and the seed must die if it is to multiply. So have confidence in Christ, even when all is difficult. And do not be deceived. God is not mocked. As the Scripture says, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Finally, I charge those who are partners in this ministry, other churches and pastors and ministers and the association, to encourage this church by your prayers and by your wisdom, by your resources, by your love, by remembering also that it is the Spirit who produces unity and makes it possible for us to work together, even when we don't agree about every single detail. As Paul writes, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Notice, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We're not called to produce it. We don't produce it. It is true by virtue of the fact of what he goes on to say. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And so he calls for here not an organizational unity, but a spiritual unity, a unity that is true if we are in Christ. And so we don't expect a minimalist approach here by saying one Lord, many faiths, many baptisms. That's what people would like to say in pluralism and inclusivism. But we say it is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There are honest differences that people may have as we seek to work together, but those differences can be worked out in the context of the gospel. It is the gospel about which we agree. It is Christ about which we agree. And together, we may exalt Him as a church as we cooperate together and work together in all the ways that God has called us to do that. When we find our differences, we must do what verse 2 says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, we must bear with one another in love. So, as we conclude this charge, I want to remind you that our confession of Christ is key. And as long as we faithfully confess Him, in His Word, we can be a church. But in his inspired confession, Peter is called a stone of foundation. But you'll notice just a little bit later down in the passage, we find in verse 23, when Jesus said, "I'm going to the cross," and Peter said, "No, you're not." He said, "Get behind me, Satan." And he said to him, "You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man." You are an offense to me. The Greek word is scandalon, which means a rock of offense. So on one hand, he's the rock on which the church may be built, at least his confession, and now he's a rock of offense. The difference in what we are depends upon our confession of Christ and being true to that confession. So may God give Grace Heritage Church grace to be true to their confession of Christ, dependent on the Spirit as the giver of truth and life, and to believe that Christ will promise to do all that He said He would do in building His church. And may those of us who partner together with them encourage them and pray for them in all the ways that God calls us to do that. Amen.
Hal, thank you for coming, and please send on our behalf our thanks and appreciation to the elders and the deacons and the folks at Northside. Many of you may recognize the city name Fort Myers, and they just went through the hurricane a few weeks ago, and even just yesterday, I believe, or the day before, their fellowship hall was cleared of refugees who had come, lost their homes and so forth. And so there's a lot of work for a pastor to be doing right now in South Florida. And I'm thankful that Hal was released to come and be with us. Another church that has supported us financially and in terms of encouragement and mentoring is the Southwoods Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee, where Phil Newton is the pastor. He was unable to be with us this weekend because of a prior commitment, and some of his folks are in South Florida helping with the cleanup. And so they, who had intended to come here, are now in Southwest Florida. But they send this word of greeting. "I bring you greetings in the name of Christ our Lord. On behalf of the Southwoods Baptist Church in Memphis, it is with great joy that we greet you on this special day in which you are covenanting together as a body of believers committed to follow Christ and His teaching in faithfulness. We have prayed for you and looked to the Lord with anticipation of this time that you declare in the Auburn community that by the grace of God, you have put down your roots and are committed to serve Christ and the gospel in your region. Our own church has adopted Colossians 1:28 and 29 as the challenge and impetus for our ministry. I commend its teaching to you. We proclaim Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to His power which mightily works within me. May the Lord enable you to faithfully proclaim Him, our Redeemer and Lord. May He grant you power and strength in seeking to make disciples of Jesus Christ who will work together in the unity and power of the Holy Spirit. May He knit your hearts together in love as you stand for the faith, once for all delivered to the saints. To God alone be the glory. Pastor Phil Newton, on behalf of the Elders, Deacons, Missions Committee, and the Southwoods Church family." So we appreciate that good word of encouragement from them. And now we come to a time of those who have talked with us about church membership. We would like to share together our vows, our promises to one another and to the Lord as we desire to walk with Him and honor Christ in our church fellowship. And so let me ask those of you, you know who you are. We've talked with you about membership and we've done that little interview thing. Y'all just go ahead and come this time if you would. And I'm going to ask you six questions to which you can respond with either an "I will" or an "I do." And I am going to ask you to come and stand here in the front. You can face me as we talk together. Now, who would have ever dreamed those many months ago when we first began talking together that this would have been the result of those talks? And we thank God for His mercy and what He has demonstrated in bringing us together. And let me ask you to respond either "I do" or "I will" as is appropriate to these six questions. Do you acknowledge yourselves to be sinners in the sight of God, justly deserving His displeasure and without hope except in His sovereign mercy? Do you repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Savior of sinners? And do you receive and rest upon Him alone for salvation as He is offered in the gospel? Amen. Will you endeavor in humble reliance upon the grace of the Holy Spirit to live according to your identity as a follower of Christ? Do you engage to walk together with God's people in Christian love through the power of the Holy Spirit? Will you endeavor to support the church in its worship, work, and witness? And do you submit yourselves to the government and discipline of the church, and will you endeavor to maintain its purity and peace? Thank you so much. God bless you. And we will now rejoin the rest of the folks who are here to celebrate with us. And so you may return to your places as we continue by sharing around the table of the Lord. As you return to your places, let me ask us all together to bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we bow before You this afternoon with thanksgiving and rejoicing in our hearts over the opportunity to consider ourselves a new congregation, a new church. Father, we know that none of this is by our own doing. It is not because we have gone through a set of formalities or ceremonies, but because the Lord Jesus Christ has given Himself for His own bride, and because He has shed His blood and taken upon Himself the wrath of God that we deserved, and has lived a perfectly righteous life and given to us His own righteousness that we might be found acceptable before You. And oh God, as You have gathered us together and knit our hearts together with a desire to see the Lord God and the Jesus Christ exalted in our community, Father, we pray for Your help and mercy now as we continue forward. There is a great need in our city and community and county and all across the land and around our world for men and women and boys and girls to exalt and honor the Lord Jesus Christ and to live unto the glory of God, so that in our homes Christ might be exalted and lifted up and the gospel might be lived out, so that in the places where we go to school and to work, people might see the beauties of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ born forth by our lives, so that in the places where we shop and play and vacation and travel and in all the places that we might go, Christ might be exalted. And Father, we confess that we cannot do this in and of ourselves, and we cast ourselves upon the Holy Spirit to empower us and equip us and to provide for us that which we need. And Father, by Your grace and to Your glory, we will then give every ounce of our strength and all of our hearts to living unto these things that we have just committed ourselves to. And we thank You for the privilege to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. We have desires in our hearts to exalt and to honor Christ and to be a faithful church in this community, but we understand and confess that we cannot do that apart from Christ. And so we will together now share in the supper of the Lord to say again publicly as we partake that we are casting our whole hope for being right before God and for living a life that will please Him upon the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a baptized believer, we invite you to partake as well with the caution that is given in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that every man first examine himself. And so we trust the Holy Spirit to be able to bring to light anything that may need to be considered in your life, and would certainly encourage you not to partake of the supper if there are any issues of sin or disobedience or problems in fellowship that need to be considered. We certainly do not consider this just a ceremony, but we do consider it to be that great opportunity for us to confess Christ and our desperate need of Him. And we believe that the admonition in 1 Corinthians 11 should be heeded. And so we invite you and call you to do that this morning or this afternoon. Otherwise, we invite you to participate and to find your hope and great encouragement in the provision of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. And so I'm going to ask Tom and Stan to come and help me. And the way we'll do this is these men will move down the center aisle and pass the plates, and we'll ask you to help us on the ends of the aisles to move it to the next aisle and bring it forth. The Scripture says that after Jesus prayed, he distributed the bread. And so let's pause to pray together, and then we'll be passing the plates in which you'll find pieces of bread that you can break off before you partake. Lord Jesus, we bow before you to thank you for your broken body and for your shed blood. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the provision that you have made for us. And just as surely as we will in a few moments hold this bread in our hands and drink of these cups, we know and confess that we cannot be right with God, nor can we have hope of forgiveness of sin apart from you. And so we repent of our sins and confess again that we believe upon you, Lord Jesus Christ, as our only hope of salvation. And casting ourselves upon you now, we receive the gift of salvation that you have provided for us by your own broken body and poured out blood. And we do so with thanksgiving and rejoicing. In Jesus' name, amen. Scripture tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and after he had blessed it, he broke it and said, "Do this in remembrance of me. This is my body." In the same way Jesus took the cup and after supper he passed it and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you remember me." Lord Jesus, again we bow before you with thanksgiving to give you praise and glory and honor for all that you have done. Thank you for redeeming us and pray that you would give us grace to love you and honor you as your people. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. And in conclusion today, let me invite you to join us in reciting of our church covenant. And this we invite you to do in the spirit of renewing this sense of covenant with your own church body. As much as of this covenant as you can affirm, we invite you to recite it with us. If you would rather not do that, that's perfectly all right as well. But we do invite you to find it there on page 7 in the worship guide. And I ask you to stand together with me, please, as we recite the covenant together. Would you read with me, please? "By the grace of God, we acknowledge ourselves to be sinners in the sight of God, justly deserving His displeasure, and without hope except in His sovereign mercy. We have been led to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Savior of sinners, and to receive and rest upon Him alone for salvation as He is offered in the Gospel. We have publicly confessed Christ by baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and we acknowledge together that our God is infinitely worthy of all our joyful worship and obedience. Now therefore, in the presence of God and by His grace, we solemnly and joyfully enter into our covenant with one another as a local body in Christ. We will endeavor in humble reliance upon the grace of the Holy Spirit to live according to our identity as followers of Christ in the world, in our homes, and in the church. We will seek to train those under our care in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, and by a pure and loving example to seek the salvation of our family and friends. We engage to walk together in Christian love through the power of the Holy Spirit by serving, encouraging, watching over, and praying for one another. We will personally and financially support the worship, teaching, and work of the church and the spread of the gospel to all nations. We will not forsake assembling together as the people of God. We will submit ourselves to the government and discipline of the church and will endeavor to maintain its purity and peace. We will, when we move from this place, as soon as possible, unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's Word. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen." Amen. Let me ask you just to remain standing, please. We'll sing a hymn together, and then I'll share one final word with you as we're concluding this afternoon.
Church has won.
Let me ask you, after our time of worship together is over, to join us for a fellowship and a reception at the place where the church gathers on College Street. You'll find it on just as you go over the railroad tracks on the right, going south on College, between Papa John's and the old antique horse shop, between that antique shop and Papa John's. So you come and join us. Let me ask you, if you would please, to park across the street at the bank. They're not doing business, but Papa John's is, and they like to have their parking places. So if you'll do that, we would enjoy that very much, to have a time of fellowship with you. Also, for those of you who are covenanting together as members, I have parting gifts, and if you'll come and see me, I would like to give those to you. I guess I'm trying to get us finished up a little bit on time, but I do want to give you something this afternoon before you get away for the reception. God has the final word in our time of worship together, and we find that from Isaiah chapter 66, verses 12 through the first part of verse 14. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations shall like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem, you shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. God bless you all, and thank you so much for coming today.